Blog Talk Radio.
We be the blessed, we the blessed, that's true. Since we the blessed, then you the blessed too. We be the blessed, we the blessed, that's true. Since we the blessed, then you the blessed too.
I may be young, but I'm ready to give.
Yay! Yeah.
Amen.
Hello.
The ladies are in the house. The queens are in the house on tonight, and we are coming to tackle those talks, to top those talks that nobody else will. So I pray that you come on and join us and involve yourself in this discussion as we go ahead, and we're going to go touching into what does it mean to be a queen?
Well, I think that a meaning of a queen is someone who is assured of herself, who knows how to carry herself in a way of a lady. And then I know that growing up, my dad used to teach me how to sit, how I had to flatten my dress behind me and spread it out so that when I stood up, the dress wasn't wrinkled and balled up and things of that nature, and he taught me how to conduct myself as a lady, a queen. It was at that time they could set as a lady, but I realized that it was setting me up to be a queen, where I would, you know, how to always make sure I had a little handkerchief around, and, you know, if I needed to, you know, handle situations, even like with my nose or things like that, I had to use my little handkerchief, and how to sit as a lady and how to keep my legs crossed and how I was to talk and, you know, to not be so loud and just boisterous. But it taught me a whole lot about what a queen actually is, and she's confident in herself, and she doesn't give attitude, but she knows how to rule and be in royalty and walk in the confidence of who she is and doesn't compare herself with other people. So that's what I believe a queen is.
Wow, wow, wow. Evangelist Vanessa, what do you say a queen is?
Well, I think it starts off with our foundation, and I totally agree with Prophetess Beverly. Foundation is really essential. How we were raised, our characteristics. I was brought up the same way of how to just learning how to conduct myself. You know, as a child, my mother and my grandmother installed a lot of things in me. So just being able to look back and just the nurturing that I got, you know, of how to act like a queen, what to do and what not to do. And the most thing that I was taught was just my foundation, that just having God as a part of my life.
Wow.
That was very important. Making God the head of my life. Just learning, you know, learning along the way. But the foundation for me as a child was very important, just things that were installed in me.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So being a queen has a lot to do with your foundation. So Prophetess Beverly, you were saying that for you, you know, you kind of got that, you know, the way to kind of carry yourself in a sense that, you know, you held yourself up to a different type of standard. It was those little feminine moves and just making sure that you were all, you know, always right, had your dress so it was always nice and neat. So your appearance exemplified excellence. And so everything that you did breathed and lit and exuded queen. Did you know that that's what it was at that time, or when did you come into the place where you began to understand that certain aspects of the way that you carried yourself and certain aspects of the way that you presented yourself, that was synonymous with being a queen?
Well, you know, I think that it all started off for me at an early age. Being brought up in the church, you saw various personalities and various behaviors and various teachings. Everyone wasn't taught the same way that I was taught. Everybody had a different view of what a lady acted like and how a lady presented herself. There were some of the women that were there that were very strong and very, you know, strong in the sense that, you know, you knew that a man wasn't around. And so they, you know, they carried a strength that wasn't, in some instances, wasn't really dainty and feminine. You know, they just, you know, operating in a place that, you know, caught my attention is to say, do I really want to be like this? Because I'm surrounded by various types of women. But I think it didn't come until my adulthood when in school, high school until my adulthood that I started seeing the difference and realizing that there was something different about me, that there are certain things that I couldn't really get involved in and certain things that I couldn't do, not because I couldn't, but it was just not my desire. It's just not what was what I wanted to be. I didn't want to act like that. I didn't want to act loud and, you know, and be boisterous and, you know, if I could just be real. I didn't want to be ghetto. I just wanted to be a lady and be a woman, but it wasn't until I realized my value, that my value had advanced me to a place of a queen. It was my value of myself, not me feeling like I deserve certain things to make me a queen, but I knew I was one because of the value that I placed on myself. And so I think that that's what it taught me, the foundation of what my dad showed me and taught me as far as his view of what a woman is supposed to be, along with the things that I saw growing up, and then coming to the conclusion as to what was going on. And then Queen Esther, who was one of my favorite women in the Bible, you know, seeing the standard that she set, you know, that helped me too. That guided me to a whole different level to let me know that as you being a queen, you have to put the value on it, and your value will allow you to disassociate with things that would disvalue you. So that was my learning lesson. Is just all of my foundation, everything that I picked up along the way, how I talk, how I use wisdom, how I protect my behavior, the temperance that I use, and I have flare ups, but you know, it just took time and maturity.
We all do.
yes, exactly. So that really helped me to know that you can still get your point across, but you don't have to just be rude and hurtful and bitter and mean, but there's still a way to still be heard.
So true.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Just the standards that we were taught when we were children. Just learning, you know, it's just a learning process. It's a renewing of the mind. Just as being children, growing up, you know, having our moms tell us, well, you know, you're beautiful, but it starts with being, you know. So just the value, that was a quick a key question, the value that was installed in us as children, you know, that we were worth something, no matter what the other person thought. Beauty comes within. And so we were taught, you know, at least myself, you know, and I agree on all the points that Prophet Beverly was saying, is that just the way that, you know, the way that we were brought up, you know, just respecting our bodies. There were certain key things that I was taught. Respecting my body, to keep my body pure.
You know,
and so just a lot of the different things that I was able to learn, but I didn't realize those things until I was probably in my early adulthood. Of all the things that my parents had taught me that connected, you know, the dots connected. Okay, this is why, you know, I didn't want to do this thing, or I didn't, you know, I didn't feel right doing that. So just being brought up in the right atmosphere and just being brought up with a set of values that helped me.
Wow,
so I think those are some of the key questions and you know, the key things that, you know, just thinking that you're royalty, because some of us don't believe that we are royalty.
That is so true.
We are royalty. And it's because, not because of things in the natural, it's because we, you know, where we came from. Our father is of royalty. So we are queen.
We completely are. And you know something, Evangelist, you really made an awesome point, even when you were talking about, you know, just having those values and those core values that were really instilled in many of us. And when we look at today's, you know, when we look at the woman of today, you know, the woman of the, you know, the 2000s, if you will, compared to, you know, some of the women I know that I grew up, you know, watching my grandmother, I grew up, you know, watching my aunts and other prominent women, you know, in my life. And there was a certain something, a certain kind of way that they carried themselves, and there was a certain kind of way that, you know, they taught us, you know, even as Prophetess Beverly had talked about earlier. You know, her dad, you know, kind of showed her, okay, well, you have to, you know, set yourself up and, you know, make sure that your attire is clean, it's tidy, you look neat, you represent something. And, you know, even down to your gestures and making sure that you have a handkerchief and be able to, you know, to clean your nose and, you know, excuse yourself and all these wonderful things. And it's like, where have we, and then we look at those things, those cores that was established, or, you know, kind of those seeds that were planted in us. And then when we look at the women of today and some of the ways that they carry themselves and you know, display themselves, it's and you know, and they have this moniker, you know, that they use, that I am the queen bee, you know, referring to being the queen female dog, which, you know, and I guess they feel because they have the, you know, they're walking in some sense of a power, they're walking in some sense of you know, awareness of who they are, but really and truly the things that they do not show anything nearly close to being a queen. So what do you think, ladies, queens, have happened, you know, in the span of 10, 20 years that has really, really brought down that standard? And what can we do as women who know truly what it means to be a queen, or are learning what it means to be a queen? How can we kind of, you know, as kingdom women who have come to the court to lay down the foundation and say, you know what, it has got to change. We've got to turn this around. We've got to, you know, instill in our young daughters and in our these young ladies, you know, how to really and truly be queens. And even some of the older ones that have, that missed that mark, that weren't taught, what do we do? Where can we go? How do we exemplify that and turn the tables on it?
Well, I think that right now we may have a caller on the line that may want to interject something at that point and may want to share an idea or may want to answer that question. So, caller, are you on the line?
Hello, God bless you. It's Evangelist Williams.
Hello, Evangelist Williams.
Hey, Evangelist Williams.
Hello,
Evangelist Williams.
Hello. First, I'll answer the question that was brought forth. I think I teach young women today, and I think one of the problems is the lack of support in the home. I think a lot of women are having children at younger ages, and they're not raising them up according to the way a woman should be raised. They're loose, you know. Their dress code is, you know, mothers are dressing like their daughters, and daughters are, you know, hanging out with their mom like they're their best friend. I know when I came up, we had cotillions or coming out parties at 16, and we were taught to dance. We were taught to conduct ourselves as young ladies. When I went on my first date, I was 15, and I was escorted by my brother. My mother made us walk up and down the stairs balancing books on our heads. You know, I was never one to cross my legs, but I would cross my ankles and, you know, taught to sit to the side. As a little girl, you know, we would dress up for church, and we'd have the bonnet and the lace, you know, socks and the patent leather shoes. And so I think the society is changed. I think our values have changed. In the time that I grew up, we were one of the wealthiest families in the town, and I was raised up in a white town. And so because we were always in limelight, in I view, we were always in social clubs. And so my father taught us how to behave according, you know, not to act out and not to, you know, run around and act like a boy. You're a girl. Act like a girl. So we were taught differently back then. You know, boys are boys and girls are girls. And now they have this cross-gender thing going on. So the identity of the woman is lost. People are just who they are. You know, this is who I am. I'm dealing with a woman now who has two girls that are homosexuals. And she has just, you know, cried her eyes out, and there's nothing that she could do because they're older now. But we, you know, come down to it, when they were younger, it was something that should have been addressed when they were younger. And not only that, there's a seed, you know, from both sides that was planted. And so, you know, you're dealing with generational curses also.
Right.
So I think there's just a lack of teaching as far as the women go today. There are women and young girls out there who are striving to be young women. And they, you know, I have a cousin now who's not even thinking about getting married. She's traveled. She's been to Europe. She's only 26 years old. You know, but it has to do with her upbringing. Her mindset was to go to college. Her mindset was to travel. But she was raised up by her grandmother. So that shows you where the values have come
right.
in. You know, that her grandmother raised her with the values that she was raised with. So I think it has a lot to do with the way the mothers are raising their daughters. And not only that, the fathers are missing in the home. So that has a lot to do with it, too. My father, he basically did my hair. He dressed me pretty much, you know, and because my parents worked split shifts, so my father did his part. So I think that the lack of a two-family home has a lot to do with it also. The girl doesn't know really where her place is in the home, you know, or you may have a child that's being raised by the father and has no mother. So she has to take on the role of raising children, not even knowing how to raise children and taking care of the household, taking care of the dad. So, you know, there's a lack of presence of a woman in the house to show her what a woman really should do. So I think there's a lot of factors that we have to look at with the young women today. When I teach Bible study, I tell the girls all the time, you know, your hormones are raging, you know what I mean? You're going to start feeling this way and feeling that way, but don't run with the flesh, you know what I mean? Sit back and just evaluate what you want in life. Don't ruin your life so early. Don't think it's all about the boy. And, you know, it's like, get your focus. Think about what you want to do.
Exactly.
Think about your value as a girl. Think about, you know, your body as being God's vessel. And this is what I teach them. And it's like, you know, they love when I come and it's my turn to teach because I'm raw. I just tell them like it is, you know. So I just want to share that with you. I know my time's probably up, but
we definitely thank you for your viewpoint on that. And you made some very, very awesome and valid points. That there is a lack of a two-parent household, and there's kind of that loss of the femininity, the womanhood, you know, because even as you were saying that many, you know, single-family homes or children, young girls having to raise their siblings, and then there's the absence of the mother, there's absence of those values that are instilled. And so, you know, there's that whole missing link. And so we can definitely identify that. And I believe once we identify what it is and we begin to keep on talking about it, we can absolutely establish and reconnect and repair that breach. But we have another caller on the line.
Yes.
Caller.
Yes. This is Minister Arlene Brown.
Welcome
Minister
on tonight,
Brown.
Minister. How are you?
Well, welcome.
I wanted to chime in and say that now that we are in the Generation X time, that the media are actually raising our children, and females are not actually knowing who they are because of the media are blending the females and males in together. They don't appreciate and know who they are because of the radio, because of the television, because of the game systems. They're thinking that they are obsolete and they don't have the femininity that they that we were raised in.
Right.
And they don't have the biblical background that they need. Back in the day, because there was no media, all we had was Christ.
Right.
And our parents raised us in the biblical words of God, and we knew who we were because of that. And the foundation was there. The foundation is very important to raise a child as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult to know who a woman is. A woman is a female that is of God. You are destined to be the queen because of who your father is. Your father in heaven is God. Your father in heaven is Lord of lords, kings of kings. So therefore, you are royalty. But you have to know who you are. So we have to explain to our children who they are. And we are going to make mistakes in life. And we have to tell them it's okay to make a mistake, but correct your mistake. Know who you are. Find a scripture in the Bible. There's a scripture for everything that we go through in the Bible. We have to know who we are through the Bible, through the Word of God. We have to train our children how to be women of God.
Absolutely.
How to fear no one. You don't fear God. You don't fear God. You have to know who you are. Devil, you are a liar. You will not take these women of God. We
Amen.
Have to speak
Amen.
This into their lives. We have Amen. To live it before them. We have to teach them. We have to take the time out. We can't work and work and work and then let the media raise our children. We have to take that back. That's a trick of the enemy.
That is. Minister Arlene, while we have you on the line, you absolutely made some great points. And I know that we have platforms such as the Queen's Court as a way to get the message out. But what other ways? Because, you know, it's one thing to identify what the problem is, and it's one thing to identify, you know, the issues. But how can we effectively reach these people, these women, these young girls, these, you know, and begin to repair? We have the Word of God. We have the standard that's there. We have, you know, the 66 books, and we have all the scriptures, and we have phenomenal examples of queens in the Word of God and everything that teaches us, you know, pertaining to life and godliness. But how do we reach those people? How do we not just talk the talk, but begin to walk the walk?
Well, first of all, we have to go and get these women. We have to go and get them, and we have to show them. We have to be gentle. We have to be kind. We have to be meek, and we have to let them know our lives, that we also made mistakes in life. We have to let them know that we're not superior. You know, we're their equal. We've been there, done that, and we have to go and hug them and love them and let them know that they're not alone, and this is how you do it. And just take them and go from step to step, and just go from glory to glory,
right.
If I must say.
Awesome.
And you know what? I also believe, too, that, you know, everything that we're saying is really great, and it's really awesome because, yes, I do believe that God is the center point of all things. But we have also women that are out there who, you know, may not go to church and may not read the 66 Bible, the books of the Bible, who may not know about Queen Esther and who may not know these things. And so they're in search of knowing that there's something out there other than what the media is putting out there, because although the media is putting the images out there as to say that this is how you're supposed to be, there are some women that are out there that may not, you know, again, know the 66 books and may not know what God says for their lives, but know that this is not the way that I choose to go. You know what I mean? I'm not going to allow the media, the detect, tell me how I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to live. But it will take kingdom women to be able to step up to the plate and say,
right,
this is how it's supposed to be, not with our mouth, but how we act, how we conduct ourselves, how we interact. You know, queens are not gossipers. Queens don't put other queens down. Queens don't put anyone down. They speak highly, and they speak life, and they rule well. They're royalty. And so queens don't get caught up in garbage. Queens don't get caught up in mess. Queens don't mess around other men, other husbands, other wives, husbands, and different things like that. So there's a characteristic that we all have to carry to better understand what is going on. So I think that when they see us as women of God, the queen's women, when they see us in action, and we know who we are, When we begin to know who we are and operate in that, then it will spread out into the world, because we are walking the epistles, which means that people may not pick up a Bible, they can read our lives and say, hey, I want to be like her. There's something different about her. You know, she's all calm and cool, you know, and then when we start sharing our testimony, oh, you went through that? You experienced that? You don't even look like that. It's because the queen knows how to keep her poise.
Amen. You're absolutely right.
All right. Absolutely, absolutely. I think a standard needs to be set, you know, so we are being watched daily.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to not only say who we are, but we have to walk in it.
Right.
It's a lifestyle.
We got to live this thing.
You have to live this thing. You have to live this thing out. And for the ones that don't go to church, the standard that we set, and I still agree with Minister Arlene and Prophetess Beverly, that we have to set that standard. We have to be different. We are set aside. You know, we're different. So when that person see you, they are going to say, you know, she's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know more about her. So it's about us just being, you know, just being confident in who we are, and just setting that standard. It's a standard that a queen has.
Right.
It's a standard that we must go by daily. You know, we can't do something Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're doing something else. So we have to. We have a high standard that we have to abide by daily.
I believe it should be something that we don't even have to think about. You know, I believe walking as a queen is something that you live, you breathe, you drink. It's so innate. Just the same way that you get up and you know that you have to put, you know, one foot in front of the other to begin walking. You know, you don't even think about it. It's just an automatic thing.
And I think that's
where we have to get to, where, you know, it's so innate. It's just a part of us. And that we're conscious 24/7 that like you said, that we are living epistles. We you know, everybody is, all eyes are on us, literally.
Yeah.
Especially when we make that profession that, you know, we are kingdom women, you know, we're even scrutinized even the more, because they're looking to see, you know, any crack, any default, any defects in our walk. And I think that even as we're walking as kingdom women, and as we're, you know, living up, and we're coming to a place where we understand, because even the more, you know, there's so many different facets of being a queen, and just even understanding that's who you are, as Minister Arlene had mentioned, that, you know, we're queens by default because of who our father is, you know, but now we have to actually, you know, apply that concept, and then at the same time know that when we get to a place where we understand that people are watching us, that other women are watching us, that men are watching us, that children are watching us, that we are literally under that microscope, and that even if we do mess up, that we understand that being a queen doesn't mean, you know, covering up the mess up. It means to acknowledge it and, you know, and let somebody know that, you know what, I'm just like you, and you're a queen too. And just because I messed up doesn't make me any less of a queen. It means that I'm a queen that messed up, and I know that, and I know how to go back and fix it.
Right. Right. So any of you ladies that want to call in and join us on this talk of this conversation, is so exciting and so enlightening and so knowledgeable. We have women of wisdom that are releasing great nuggets to help us to become better women, and not just better women, but to become queens, elevating ourselves and elevating our standards, elevating our mindset. I want you to call in at 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. and tell us what you think a queen is, because, you know, society tells us what a queen is, and we've seen what it is. I've heard a young lady say it, you know, they get with a guy, and, you know, they didn't get with a queen, with the king. They got with one of the jokers or, you know, one of the little clowns of the court, amen. So I'm a queen, and I deserve better than that, but you made the choice to go to a joker. You made the choice, amen. So because you made the choice and you know you was a queen, why would you lower your standards to succumb yourself to something that's lower than your standards? That's because you don't know what you are. You say you're a queen.
You really don't know.
Your decisions and your choices, your choices don't reflect a queen. Because
right.
Only a queen will draw a king. That's given. And a king is not a king in process. He already is in position. You're not trying to find out who he is. He's already in position and know how to rule. So,
right.
You know, one of the things I wanted to put out to the ladies, too, is that one of the things that I learned is that there's three elements to a lady that my spiritual dad, he taught me. And so there is the woman, which is like it's on the lower ranking end. Then there's the lady, and then there's the queen. So what do you say on that? What the difference is between from the woman who's on the lower part to the queen, and then we got in between we have a lady. So what are your views on just what a woman is?
I'm gonna go ahead and tackle that. A lady is in the middle. A woman is someone who just knows that, you know, that they're a woman. They, you know, they're okay with just being, you know, the status quo. You know, even when it talks about in the word where it says that some, who, you know, they will read 30, 60, and 100 phones. I look at it as, okay, the woman that says, I'm just satisfied right here. You know, I'm fine being, you know, a wife. I'm fine being a mother. I'm fine mm-hmm. being a daughter, a sister, an auntie, and all of that. You know, I'm cool right here. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to shake nothing up. I'm just okay in my little corner. You know, a lady, I would say, is, you know, she's another step up. So, you know, it's not just enough to, you know, just be the wife and the mother and the you know, the auntie and all this stuff. But you know, I kind of understand that I was placed here to do something. And so I'm not too afraid with rocking the boat. I'm not going to tip it over. But I'm going to, you know, just make just enough noise so that you know my presence. I'm going to walk with just enough swag that you know that I walk by. And then you have a queen knows that, okay, I rule, that I command a certain type of presence. You know, not only am I a wife or a mother or, you know, a single person, but I rule and I walk with authority. Everything I do it in excellence, and I'm phenomenal, and I know it. And not in a sense of being conceited, but being sure about who you are and being, you know, and holding yourself up to that standard, and not just, you know, yourself to that standard, but also holding others to that standard. And it goes even back to what you were saying before, you know, how many women will go around and say, well, you know, I'm a queen, but then they end up with the court jester and wonder why. But see, this
yeah.
the queen knows that I know my standard. And if you don't know my standard, I'm going to let you know, because I'm not going to accept anything less. So I think,
right.
You know, and I'm totally fine with not only shaking the boat, but I'll tip it over and build it back up again.
Right.
I agree with that.
That's just my synopsis.
I totally agree with
exactly.
that. Being a woman, anybody can be a woman. Because
right.
you're either a woman or you're either a man.
Exactly.
You know, so you born into either or.
Right.
And as for a lady, the expectations, she's a little higher because of the expectations. She can be a mother, like you say, or an aunt or a grandmother. There's, you know, it's a process. It's different expectations for either one.
Mm-hmm.
But a queen knows who she is.
Right.
when she comes in the room, you gonna know she's the queen because of the boldness that she has.
Right.
You know, and you gonna know that it's something different about her because the atmosphere is also gonna change.
Mm.
The way that she holds her head up, the way that she walks. So you're going to know the difference, you know, between the difference a woman, you know, a lady and a queen. A queen knows when she come in, this is who I am. I'm going to, you know, and she respects herself to the highest, but not only respecting herself, she gives that same respect to others.
Right.
Hmm.
So now, I was thinking too, and I, you know, ladies, I think that we can agree to that, because as we elevate, we can see ourselves in these three different statues of a woman, moving from a woman to a lady, from a lady to a queen. We can see that to become a queen, it's a process, because even when you're grown, when you're born into royalty, you're being trained in the whole process of becoming a queen, but you don't move from a woman to, being part of the royalty, then you jump right at queen. You become a princess and learn how to rule in that area. You know how to rule in that realm. And then as you move to queen, even though it's more responsibilities, you've already had the practice. You've already gone through the process. And one of the things that I noticed about women, and I hear the bell, is that women are led by their emotions. And so you, as a queen, you can't do that. You can't be led by your emotions, because you've been a toe off the throne and had people in the wrong place and,
exactly.
You know, it didn't let down the standards of what it is, because we're ruled by emotions. So we have a caller that's on right now, and we want to, you know, get some feedback from our caller. Caller, you are now on the line. Let's hear what you got to say.
Good evening. This is Ambassador Tina.
Hey,
hello,
Ambassador.
Tina. How are you?
Hey, Ambassador.
I'm wonderful.
Welcome to the Queen's Court.
Thank you. Yeah, there is a great difference between the different rankings that you put out there, the woman, the lady, and the queen. And I believe that Prophetess Beverly is right, that there is a process to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have some women who are broken and who have had things happen in their lives where, you know, they don't see their true value because somehow they've been devalued. Now it's up to us as other women to come alongside these women and help to build them up. They see our walk, but even in seeing our walk, sometimes they're like, "Well, how can I do this? You know, I don't see myself that way."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so that's the process in and of itself, that they have to begin to see their own value. That's where you have someone who's a woman, she doesn't see her value at all.
Right.
She doesn't see that she has any value.
Right.
So she just goes with whatever.
Whatever role.
She goes with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever society does, whatever they, it's all good, it's fine.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the way women are devalued in videos and things like that, that doesn't bother her because she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't understand that she has any value. You know, there are situations and circumstances that happen in life, you know, that can actually beat a person down, whether male or female. But in this case, we are talking about women. And I can only speak for myself that, you know, I've been there, done that. You know, I was at a point in life where I didn't know who I was. You know, I had people who talked to me in such a way that I didn't feel that I had worth. And after you've been talked to for such a long time and beaten down, sometimes you begin to believe it.
Right. Yeah.
So
yes.
It's what we can do to turn that around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To show them you do have value. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You have so much in
something.
You.
You have value.
Exactly. So that's when the woman starts to transition into that lady. So now she understands, I do have some worth. You know,
mm-hmm.
I see I have something. But that's where the transition comes in. You have to transition from being just a woman to being that lady. And
right.
And even, you know, getting more self-confident and, like you alluded to before, not being conceited or arrogant, but starting to really understand who you are and that you are intrinsically, you have value, you have meaning, you're important.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see those things, and when you start to understand those things, and when you start to believe those things, because that's what it comes down to. Are you going to believe it?
That's right.
Because anyone can say this or say that, but it's about you believing it yourself. If you don't believe it, you're not going to walk in it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, because you can keep hearing it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it, not only from other people, but also in the Word. But you have to come to a point that you begin to believe it. Once you start beginning to believe it and have confidence in that, then you're going to start to move. Then you're going to start to grow. Then you progress from a lady to, like Prophetess Beverly was talking about, a princess.
Right.
And from a princess to eventually that queen. But that has to happen, you know?
Right. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Right. And you said something very key, Ambassador Tina, about you have to believe what you hear and within yourself, not because of what other people said, because my dad told me I was beautiful growing up all the time. So he said that, he said, don't know knuckleheads will be telling you that, and you just fall in love with the very first thing because they told you how beautiful you were. But, you know, even though I knew I was beautiful and that was told to me by my dad, I didn't feel beautiful on the inside. And even though he focused on the surface, the emotional support that I needed from my dad, that validation that I needed from my dad, other than that, my outwardly beauty, to be able to pull the beauty that was on within, he never toppled, he never discussed, never talked. So I found myself, as I grew up, being very promiscuous, looking for love in all the wrong places, because the validation that emotionally of being secured in who I was not instilled. It was just the outward beauty that was the focal point. And so we have a lot of vain women that are out there that, you know, they face the speech, they got the right eyelashes on, the right lip color, they got the right eyeshadow on, their hair is done, it's fried, and they say fried, dyed, and laid to the side. But yet, when you look at them on the inside, they're so shallow, and they're broken.
Yeah.
So and they don't have nothing to give to no one because nothing was given to them. I can go to the bank and try to take up money, but if I ain't putting no deposit in, even if it's a dollar, if I didn't put a dollar in, I can't get a dollar out. And so we have to get to the place that we have to start validating our daughters early, the young women early. They don't have to be my daughter, but I can still just plant a seed in there. And that, you know, they say a village raised of children. There used to be a time when I was growing up in my dad's church, everybody could whoop me. They didn't have to give no explanation. And then when I got home, I got it from my parents. But we need to get to the place. Yes, we got to get back to the place that even if you're not my daughter, I'm still going to plant the key, the seed of queenship inside of you. I'm going to plant that seed. I'm going to take that time because a lot of these young girls, they're being molested. They're being raped. Different things are happening to them that's stripping them of their identity. And this is it's a trick of the enemy. And so when they get to the place of queenship, they don't feel worthy. They feel nasty. They don't feel anything. And I have to stand in the mirror plenty of times and tell myself that I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. It don't matter if I'm a size 2 or if I'm a size 22. I'm still beautiful and I'm still a queen. And my posture represents who I am. My posture, because the queen don't walk all slumped over, and my dad used to say, why you all folded up like an envelope? Why you all folded up? But I have my posture. It has to change, you know, walk with my head high, you know. I don't have nothing to be ashamed about. And so this is what we need to instill, no matter how dirty we may feel because of what has happened to us that was not our fault. We're still queen.
Amen.
So Prophetess Beverly, so how can we help these women? How can we help
first have to be healed.
That's vital.
We first have to be healed. We have to first know what it takes to be a queen.
That's vital.
We have to shift our atmosphere. We have to operate in wisdom because what we were taught was not always wisdom. Some of us were taught just how to survive. You know, we were just taught how to survive, but we wasn't taught wisdom to last us, you know, and how to do it, and to know who we were and be insecure that we were. It's not in my nails because I go get my nails done every week. That don't mean nothing, you know. It just means that outward part of me, again, it's beautiful, but the inside of me is so shallow. Yeah, we focus on the outside, but we don't look at the inside.
Right.
So we have to deal more with the inner part of us.
Right. And you know what, when we touch into that, when we take care of that inside part, then, you know, the outside is just, you know, it's literally just the icing on the cake, because the icing doesn't make the cake. The icing just, you know, adds a little bit more sugar to it. But it's really the flavor and the ingredients that go into the cake.
It's the ingredients.
You know, that make it tasty, that make it, you know, you know, make you crave it all the more. And it's so true, because, you know, even as I was sitting here earlier and, you know, just kind of scrolling through, and I, you know, saw some of my classmates were celebrating their birthdays on today. And I know that they have, you know, younger children that are younger than mine. And I was sitting down there just, you know, randomly thinking, like, you know what, I had my first child when I was 18. And I noticed that so many of them went on to do other things, that went on to, you know, kind of establish themselves in life and you know, and travel and attain those career aspirations before they begin, you know, they got married and started to have a family. And I was just kind of looking at the differences, and it goes right back to what you were saying, like, you know, everybody focused on the outside, but nobody really took the time to pay attention, you know, and instill, not necessarily that they didn't instill those values, but they gave me what they had. And it was like, you know, my grandmother, she was married at 13, 14, you know, back in the islands, where that was, you know, perfectly normal. And she raised, you know, 9 children, you know, practically before she was in her, you know, mid-20s. So that was perfectly normal. And so they gave me what they had. You know, and then I'm just looking like, you know, wow, everybody else went out and did. Now I'm kind of doing things in the reverse. And understanding now that I'm even pouring into my own, that, you know what, There's something other than just the surface. Make sure your inside is right. Make sure you are accomplished on the inside before you try to, you know, become accomplished on the outside. But I heard that bell go off, so I believe we have a caller on the line, and we definitely want to make sure we get to you. So, caller, come on.
God bless you. This is Prophetess World.
Hello, Prophetess
Amen.
World.
Hey, Prophetess World.
Hello,
how are you?
How are you?
How are you ladies doing tonight?
Great. Welcome to the Queen's Court, where the Kingdom Woman speaks.
Amen. Just first of all, I wanted to let you ladies know that I am truly enjoying the show. It's just definitely, you know, something that women need to hear, especially those women who have low self-esteem, those who don't know their self-worth. And so this is definitely something that can help the women, you know, pull their self-up out the gutter. So.
Yeah.
As Ambassador Tina was speaking, I saw about the book of Galatians when she talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so this is, I believe, is very vital for women to get down into their spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit, of joy, peace, of kindness. Because this is what's going to cause them to grow, not only in their self, but also in God as well. And if they grow in God, then that's going to teach them how to become queens. Because there are many women who come from abusive homes. There are many women have been, you know, as children have been molested and raped, you know, by the uncle, by the best friend, boyfriend. So, you know, growing up on the street, some women, you know, walk the street to make money. And so now, you know, that they are older, mature, and they realize, you know, I've had a hard life, but I no longer desire to have that life. I want my self-esteem to come up. I want to be a greater person. You know, I want my grandchildren to not see that side of me, but to see a greater side of me. So they need to be taught. They need to know how and what to do to become that type of person. And so God dropped in my spirit as I was listening to Ambassador Tina. God dropped in my spirit, you know, Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I think that's a good tool that we should use to the women. We should teach them how to love their self. First.
Absolutely. That's key.
We should, you know, teach them how to have that joy on the inside, because as the psalmist said, this joy that I have, give it in the world, can't take it away.
That's
so we teach them how to have that joy on the inside of them, then regardless of what comes their way, you know, whatever type of turmoil or hell or high water come their way, it won't steal their joy because it's rooted down inside of them. So that's something very important that we have to teach the women as well, you know, along with them. Because if they have peace, the Bible says that peace passes all, you know, understanding. So if you have peace, that's going to take you further than what anything else would take you, because that peace is going to be rooted and grounded down inside of you.
Oh, so yeah.
I just believe that Galatians 5 is going to be a good tool that we can feed into that would nurture them so that we can build them up to be queens that they have been ordained to be for the foundations of the world before he got his hands on them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I'm just, as Prophetess World was speaking, you know, what came to mind was the incomparable legend herself, Maya Angelou, who, you know, walked in such an immense presence that, you know, she was quiet, she bold at the same time. Like, you know, her, she really commanded, you know, a sense of queendom, and she didn't lord it over anybody, but she knew who she was. And even just, you know, thinking about her story and what she came through, she was molested as a, you know, young child. She was, you know, she suffered trauma that caused her to go, you know, she decided I wasn't going to speak, you know, anymore. And that was that. And she came, you know, she really set a bar, and she set a standard of excellence that exuded her queenness, if you will. And was just kind of looking up some quotes that she made, and it says one that really stood out was, "You can never be great at anything unless you love it." And it kind of goes back to what Prophetess World was saying, as far as, you know, bearing the fruit of the Spirit and teaching women how to love themselves. And, you know, so you can't be great at being a queen if you don't love yourself. If you don't have that, you know, that love, not for what you look like on the outside, or because, you know, like Prophetess Beverly was saying, because you can beat your face and put on, you know, these eyelashes and put on the latest designer clothes and rock some Jimmy Choo's and all this wonderful stuff and still walk out empty. But when you really and truly have a love on the inside of yourself, you know, it's not a matter of you know, a queen does not, her outfit doesn't make her. She makes her outfit. And that comes from the inside, and that self-love, that healing from whatever trauma you have experienced, whatever you feel like, you know, you have been wronged, or you had, you know, you got the short end of the stick, but, you know, you took the lemons that life gave you, and you turn around and you made lemonade and you sold it, and you made a profit off of it. That's what a queen does, you know. So that's really touching on that loving yourself and that self-love and bearing those fruit of the Spirit and really knowing what to do with it. So that's what put me in the mind of. So go ahead. I want to encourage. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to make sure everybody knew the number to dial in. 347-945-5416. We here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. We want to hear your points. We want to hear your comments. And we want to hear your views. So go ahead and dial on in.
Yes, please dial on in. This is so wonderful. This is an uplifting conversation, and it's enlightening to us, where everyone to come in, Prophetess World, Amen, Minister Brown, Evangelist Williams, and all of our sisters here in this story. But I also wanted to add something, because I noticed, and I'm not, you know, I'm strictly the 66, so don't get me wrong in this, but we have to bring balance into this. Only because there's so many women that are around who have heard what the fruits of the Spirit are and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves, but they're not walking in it. And so it makes it difficult for the reality and the experience of seeing what real love actually is and what joy is. And when we're going through the things, the long suffering that comes with that, and as we're going through the long suffering, we can't have no bad attitude. We can't have no that disposition. And so unfortunately in the church, there's a lot of women who have heard what the fruits of the Spirit are, but they're not fully operating in it, or they only operate in the ones that they pick. And
right.
So it makes it difficult for it to pull the full package.
Absolutely.
Yes, it makes it very difficult for the full passage to be exemplified, because we that are believers and say that we understand what the Word of God says, we're not operating in it, because many of us are broken. Many of us that operate in unforgiveness, and so therefore the queen cannot come through that process, because in the process of being a queen, you there's some things that's going to make your skin uncomfortable. There's some things that you're going to have to wear that may not be your style. There
right.
may be some things that are going to be going on that may not be your flavor. But being a queen means that there's standards that you have to meet. And so it's very
Absolutely.
Vital and so important that we begin this, as Prophetess World said, we got to first begin to love ourselves. And you don't have to know the fruits of the Spirit to know to do that. It's good to know it, but it's also good to know that you have to love on yourself, because when you love on yourself, you can love others. Hurt people.
Yes.
And so when you are queen, you begin to know how to nurture. You begin to know how to rule in such a way that it makes being in your presence pleasurable. Because there's
yes.
a lot of people that are unapproachable, you know, because they walk around with their nose in the air. They act like they don't stink, you know, because they may have a title or position behind their name. And so they think that they're untouchable. But we got to remember that before we got to the place that God has called us to, that we were just wretched just like them. We were stinky just like them. You know, we had bad attitudes just like them. And it took the grace of God to help us to get to the place where we can love again, where
That's
we
nice.
Can trust again, and when we can embrace again, and when we can open ourselves up again. It took a process. So it takes conversations like this to be able to open the door and
Absolutely.
Let other women know that, you know what, we've been there, so we can now freely discuss it, because where we used to be, we're not there anymore. What it was, it's not there anymore. We're now speaking from the Queen's Court, which means that we have been elevated. We went through the process. So it takes us really, really learning to love ourselves and not comparing ourselves, because, you know, women can be very, and I say this very loosely, women, not queens, women can be very catty. Women can
yes.
be, you know, very jealous hearted, and we can be very, you know, women can be very envious. And what somebody else have when you have keys to get what it is that you're supposed to have. I cannot enjoy your food when that's not my taste.
Right.
That's not my taste. You know,
right.
I don't like pickled pig feet, but somebody else might like pickled pig
Neither
feet.
Neither do I.
And so because you like it and I don't make me less than a queen. We just
exactly.
have different tastes. But we still doesn't exemplify me or exempt me from being a queen. So it's very, very important that we have no more, that we don't operate in identity crisis, walk around saying that we're queens when we're just a damsel. You
yes.
know, we always need somebody to come to our rescue.
Yeah,
we don't need anybody to come to our rescue, you know.
Right.
I'm not on a railroad track tied down, you know. Hell,
right.
that's not me. You
right.
know, I've been rescued. Now I'm not going to allow myself to get into the position of being, you know, having to be that damsel that always needs the help and always needs to be rescued. So
right.
being secured into who we are and operating in that is so vital.
Right. Queens make decisions from a right way of thinking, and they take decisive action, and they take responsibility for those decisive actions, and they take responsibility for them, and they take responsibility for everybody in their court. They are queens, stand up and rise to the occasion.
Yes. I totally
amen, amen, amen. We're just having a discussion here on the Queen's Court. If you want to tune in on your laptop, you want to share it with your neighbor, with those kingdom men, with those kingdom women, we want them to dial in. Go ahead and plug in www.blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. You can listen to us live via the internet. Go ahead and dial us in. If you want to have a couple of words to say, if you want to put your input in, if you have a question, a comment, we welcome them here on the Queen's Court. Dial 347 845-5416.
Now, Prophet Nadi, do you think that it would be fair to even invite the men to call in as well and hear their opinion, what they think of Queen Anne?
I definitely encourage, you know, the kingdom men to go ahead and dial in, because I want to hear their input, too. I want to hear what they have to say about the kingdom woman, what they have to say about the queen, and where they see, you know, the status of the women these days and the ladies and what they define a queen as. What are they looking for when they hear the word queen? When somebody says that they're a queen, what are those attributes, those characteristics that they expect to see when they see this person that says, I am a queen? And definitely we want them to tune in and to listen in as well, so they can, you know, encourage their sisters, their wives, their mothers, their aunts, that woman in their life. If they're not operating that queen status where they should be, we want them to be able to say, hey, you know, tune in. We got some kingdom women who are keeping it real and who are, you know, living, walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So we definitely want the kingdom man to tune in.
Yes, please, men, tune in. We want to hear your input on what a queen really actually is in your eyes. So yes, I totally agree. Now I wanted to just kind of like not change the subject, but it's still dealing with the queen. But what are your views on the diva? Because we hear a lot of women, you know, they're using that as the replacement of a queen. Now, I used to, you know, talk about the diva, and, you know, I used to have acronyms of what a diva was and different things like that. And the church world has picked up that spirit of what a diva is. And to me, a diva is someone that, you know, it's attitude, you know. It's my way, and we're having temper tantrums, you know, and you know, I'm beautiful, so I'm supposed to have my way. Where a queen knows who she is, and she don't have to open my mouth, their mouth. Her presence demands the attention. Her presence demands the order. She doesn't have to open her mouth, because you're in front of royalty, you automatically respect her. So what are your views on a diva versus a queen?
Amen, amen. And when you talk about that, I'm a little really touchy on that word diva. You know, I wasn't always one to, you know, to keep up with the word and use it very frequently. But when I came into knowledge that diva is actually, you know, a shortened term for divination, I try to stay away from that word, because I don't want, you know, those things to, you know, that are considered to be that. But then even when we talk about, as you were just saying, that a queen doesn't even have to open her mouth, the diva, you know, is that person that, you know, has to, you know, have all this loud, kind of boisterous attitude and, you know, make my presence known because you can hear me coming type of thing. But then when I consider, even as we have put out there quite a few times during the show, Queen Esther, I'm reminded that, you know, when she went into the king's presence, she didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to open her mouth. All she did was walk into the court, and everything dropped. You know, everything completely, you know, came to a screeching halt and standstill, and not in a bad way, but it's because, her presence, her authority, her confidence, her God-fidence, you know, really spoke for her and caught the attention of the king. So she didn't have to come in and say, hey, king, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, I need you over here, and I got this going on, I got that going on. None of that. You know, she had a strong presence. She walked in there, she had that God-fidence, and she just said, you know what, whatever it is, you know, I'm reminded, she said, you know, if I'm going before the king, if I perish, let me perish. But, you know, it was that commanding authority that she had in her walk, in her stride, in her, the confidence, you know, that allowed her to be received. That, you know, he said, even up to half of my kingdom you can have. And she didn't have to open her word. She didn't have to open her mouth. She didn't have to yell. She didn't have to scream. She didn't have to do any of that. So there is a stark difference between the diva and the queen.
Yes, I totally agree. Queen Vanessa, what you think? What's your views on this? And now I think we may have lost one of our queens.
Oh, wow. We got to get our queen back.
We got to get our queen back. Come on, ladies, call in. Give us your view on what you think of the diva versus queen. Give us a call at 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. Come on and dialogue with us to let us know your version of what a diva versus a queen is.
Amen.
Prophetess Nadia, Prophetess Beverly, this is Ambassador Tina. I'm still on the line.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for rocking out with this, Ambassador Tina. Amen. We are going to get ready to bring this discussion to a close in just a few moments. So we just have a couple of announcements that we want to make. We want to make sure that you all are always in the know. Continue to rock out with us. Come and visit us here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. Invite the Kingdom Man. Invite the Kingdom Woman. Invite those in your life that you want to see them become elevated to the position of Queen, that they understand who they are and because of who they are. Go ahead and invite them to join us every Monday night at 9 p.m. right here again on www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. If you want to dial in from your cell phone or you might be out and about but you still want to catch and get in on the discussion, dial us at 347-945-5416. Now, I do have to say this. The queens are going to be traveling because we are women on the wall, you know, and we are part of the New Testament Temple End Time Remnant International Ministry. And so we've got ministry to do coming up this week. So we will be not having our show on next week, Monday, but we definitely want to set the expectation that we are going to be back on the 28th. So mark your calendars. We do not want you to miss out. Of course, we're going to be putting it out there because we want to get you on the line. We want to hear what you have to say concerning the things that we discuss here on the Queen's Court. So look out for us again on Monday, 9 p.m. on July 28th. That's when we'll be having our next show. But if you ever have a question in the interim, if you have a topic that you want to hear us discuss here on the Queen's Court, go ahead and drop us a line at our email address, which is thequeenscourtnewtestament@gmail.com. Again, that's thequeenscourtnewtestament@gmail.com. Send your questions, your concerns, your comments, even those topics that you want to hear us discuss right here. And you never know. The next show we do may contain those things. So we invite you to join us back. Tell everybody about it because we want to get the discussion going. We want to attack the issues that are plaguing society, that are plaguing the churches, that are plaguing the Kingdom Man and the Kingdom Woman, so we can get it right, church, so we can go home. And so we just bless you all for joining in and for rocking out with us again. Also, we want to invite you to join us for our 5 a.m. Whale of Travail prayer every single morning, Monday through Saturday. We are on the line at 5 a.m. wailing before the Lord and sacrificing that first fruit of our day so that we can receive of God's morning glory for our life, get instruction. We are praying. We're releasing prophetic utterances. I'm telling you, the mighty hand of God is upon this ministry and upon the prayer line. So many testimonies of how the prayers are blessing the people. So we encourage you to join us at 5 a.m. again, Monday through Saturday. We are on the prayer line. If you would like more information about how to get in contact with us for the prayer line information, send us an email at newtestamenttemple@gmail.com or friend us, like our page on Facebook, New Testament Temple, and inboxes for that for those details and for that information. Also, we have the Morning Manna Bible study, prophetic Bible study, where we just never know what direction God is going to take us in. But whatever direction he takes us in, it's a rhema word. I can guarantee that it is a rhema word sent straight from heaven with the fire of the Holy Ghost. So we invite you to come out to that. That is Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have people that dial in from
East Coast, West Coast. We even have those who are from overseas and internationally that are looking to get connected to this ministry and get power, get strength, you know, where the queen is learning how to be a queen and where the king is learning how to be a king. So we invite you all again if you would like further information on either the 5 a.m. Bible study, the 5 a.m. prayer or the 10 a.m. Bible study. Send us an email at newtestamenttemple@gmail.com. Prophetess Beverly, do you have any further announcements that we need to let the people know about on tonight?
No, just like us on Facebook and visit us on Facebook and to see what we're doing. We place all our announcements there. We just want to thank everyone that participated on tonight. Amen. The kickoff was just so awesome. And join us again, and we're going to be coming up with some interesting topics. I think the next topic we may discuss is what is a submitted woman. Mm. They might get a little heated because no woman likes to do that word submission. But we're going to tackle these things because it still has to do with the characteristics of a queen. So we want to just ask you to just join in with us and, you know, post your questions, post your concerns, you know, give us testimonies on how this this broadcast has helped you and blessed you. And we just look forward to seeing you next time.
Amen, amen,
amen. Amen, amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you all so much, every one of our callers. We praise God for you, and we thank you for joining in with us here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Women Speaks, and for making this discussion so fruitful. And we pray that it has blessed somebody, that there was a nugget, there was something that was said that sparked a change, that planted a seed to cause someone to change for the better. So we bless God for you all, and we wish you all shalom and good night.
Good night. Good night. Oh, yeah. I've got a weakness in my flesh, battles in my mind. Sometimes it's hard to kneel and pray. But I do it 'cause I know you make it love. But I can't do this alone. Don't wanna get too far gone. I know you've chosen me, Lord, but it's me who won't answer your call. This feeling